Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on the second Sunday of Easter, that we are in the Easter season celebrating the power of resurrection, that we have victory over death because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I'm glad that you are able to join here and also online. God has given us one more day to live in this world to be a blessing here. It is not because of who we are, only because of who He is. And so let us worship together today. The announcements are listed in the second page. They are very brief. You can just go over them, regular announcements. The only thing is the third Thursday luncheon is going to be on April 16th. So it's going to be this week, Thursday, at 1 o'clock at Golden Corral. Please join for a time of fellowship and lunch together. Are there any special announcements? I don't have anything special other than our food bank ministry still continues, and please donate in cash or in kind. Anything else anybody want to announce? If not, thank you for your continued and faithful support to the ministries of this church. By your prayers, presence, gifts, and service, God loves a cheerful giver. We accept our donations on our website also. Please check that out, as many of you have been using that opportunity on the website. If there are no other announcements, we'll continue worshiping God together. Let me bring up the hymn. The opening hymn is Come Christians Join to Sing If You're Able. Stand for 158 in the blue book. It's also on the screen. If you're able, please stand.
Come Christians, join to sing Alleluia, Amen. Loud praise to Christ our King, Alleluia, Amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise His gracious choice. Alleluia, Amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, sky. Alleluia, Amen. He is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, Amen. Praise ye the Lord again. Alleluia, Alleluia, Amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, Amen.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank You for this time that You have given us to gather here in this church and also online to worship You. Thank You for the privilege of the eternal life that You have given to us through Jesus Christ. You opened the way to salvation because of Your Son, who came to this world, lived among us, suffered and died. He rose from the death and overcame death and opened to us the gate of eternity. The resurrection of Your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Lord, You are the author of our faith, and we come to You to lift up Your name and to adore You. We thank You again for Your presence in our midst today, Lord. Help us to worship You in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. And may the service of word and praise be to the glory of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. This is our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand and greet each other in Christian love.
Thank you. It's springtime. Thank you.
My wife passed away 3 years ago. We used to sing it frequently. separately. It's entitled, There's Something About That Name. So please stand and join us in this praise chorus. We will sing it two times.
Standing, we will affirm our faith by reading the Apostles' Creed. I will bring it up. We'll affirm our faith together, and we can join me together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where I share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives, and also we bring up our prayers of concerns and burdens before the Lord and before each other, so we can share and lift each other up together to the throne of grace of God. God has given us the privilege to not only pray for our needs, but also intercede for other people's needs. What a great privilege that is, to pray for others. So let us share our prayers and prayers of blessings, and then prayers of concerns. The regular prayer items and praise items are listed at the back of the bulletin. The box is listed there. Please follow that every day in your prayers and remember these people and these items in your prayer, on your regular prayers.
We need to have a name on that list.
Oh, I do.
Ronnie, Rick.
Ronald, Ricky? Okay. Right. Okay.
He's in the hospital.
In the hospital. Ronnie Ricky. Please pray for Ronnie Ricky, who is in the hospital. And one of the prayer items I wanted to share is about the astronauts and the Artemis came back safely.
Yes.
The people from the space, and so happy to see them back. What an achievement for us and for the world. Any other praise items before we go into the concerns? Let us remember many of these people listed there, and also especially want to remember Carol, as she's in the memory care facility now. She is okay, right? You know, as far as he can say. And a few of us are getting together after lunch to go and visit her this afternoon. You're welcome to go with us. We have some songs that she always sings songs.
Yes.
So we can sing some songs there and also pray for her and pray with her. If you're available, please join us. Let us know if you want to go. Pray for Wayne also, and he's coping with all the situations that he's going through now, but he looks good now. Please continue to keep him in our prayers.
He's saying, "I look bad before."
You did 1 week.
But
up you did. Prayer works. And also remember the families that are grieving at the death of those three teenagers that are killed. Were killed in last week in Florida. They are coming, local teenagers, taken away at the prime of their life. What a tragedy that is. And also the child that is also in the hospital after that recovery. Please pray for their families and pray for healing and recovery for that little girl. Continue to pray for Jeff Woodman, Sean and Amy Conway, Lou, Yolanda is here today, and Lou was supposed to be here today. I don't think she feels well today, so that's why she didn't come. Please keep her in our prayers. She still doesn't have a date for her surgery yet, because he didn't get the clearance from the doctors. Pray for Pam, Lisa's mom, and Ashton, Adam. Also pray for Melissa Pilcher for her family needs. Pray that God will provide the right provisions at the right time. Pray for Jan Baser also. She's grieving at the death of her husband. Plus, and pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes. Jean was supposed to be released, I believe she is, and she has to go to a rehab for a couple of weeks before she can go home. But she was online with us last Sunday. I didn't hear back from her this week.
I talked with her one day. She is in the out on Highway 20, Oaks.
Yeah, the Oaks. Yeah, I know.
She was doing very well. Said she had no energy, but she was.
Yeah, that's yeah. Okay.
She talked to Linda earlier and said Jean says hi to everybody. So.
Okay. Pray for Linda also. She's here with us, so please keep her in our prayers. I think I covered everybody that I had on the list. Anybody want to add anything, or just if I missed anything, you can add. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all others, many others who are doing their work behind the scenes to give us services. There's a lot of times they are not visible, but that they make our lives convenient and comfortable every day. So please remember them in our prayers, the trash workers, the grocery clerks, delivery people, construction workers, farmers, I mean, you name it. and bus drivers. Please keep them in our prayers.
We need 30 more days of prayer. 30 more days,
please remember them in our prayers. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, particularly during this time of problems and wars happening, that they will be guided by God's wisdom more than ever before. We need to pray honestly that it will come to a conclusion where we can have some peace and all these wars can come to a settlement, and God can work miracles through the midst of chaos that man brings in. And we bring in problems and God fixes them. That's what happens. So God is good and He's going to continue to work with our leaders. Let us pray for that. Pray for world leaders also, that they will fear God when they make decisions. Some of them don't believe in God, but they know who God is in their hearts. So they know the fear of God. So they will also make decisions that will bring peace to this world. Pray for our church, and that we will do the work that God has given us in this community to do faithfully, to reach out and touch the people who are in need in various conditions of their lives, to be caring and compassionate, to show the love of Christ to this community and around. Pray for all the churches and the pastors and the work that they do here in this community, but also the world church at large, in many different parts of the world, sharing and spreading the love of Christ in many parts of the world, remote areas and tribal places. Let us remember them in our prayers, that God will give them the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to do the work to spread God's kingdom in many places. And I wanted to thank Pastor Tim and Jenny coming here today and preaching for us today. Always a joy to have both of you here, especially you. We like to hear from you. The message of God that God brings through you are very encouraging and very informative many times to me. So thank you very much for joining us. Those are the items that I have to share. Anybody else have anything special to call? Anything else? If there are no other special items to call out, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. Scripture tells us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children with our prayers of blessings to thank you, O God. Thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and sad blessings that you have given us to live in this world. It is not because of our merits only because of your grace that we are alive here today. Thank you for the blessings that you shower upon us. Thank you for keeping us safe and covering us with your protection, even when we are not aware of where we are. We thank you again for your faithfulness in our lives. Even when we have been unfaithful to you, your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. Thank you for your presence in our midst, O God. Help us to worship you together in truth and in spirit, to lift your name up, that each one of us will be blessed by the power of your spirit as we go from this place. We look up to you for our needs and our burdens, O God. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. Give us the grace to act in faith in times of our hurts and our grief, O God. Many of us are broken in many different ways. Some of us are weary and some of us are tired. And many of us need healing in our bodies, especially the dear ones that we have named and called out here today. We pray for Ronnie Ricky, pray for Jeff Woodman, Sean and Amy Conway, Lou Hughes, Yolanda, Pam, Ashton, Adam, and all those other ones who need your healing hand to touch them. We pray for Carol, pray for Jean McPrayer, we pray for Grace Haynes, Jerry Raines, and many others that we may not remember their names now. We know your healing hand can heal them, O God, according to your time. We lift them up to your throne of grace, O God, at your mercies, that is everlasting, that you will heal our dear ones according to your time and your will. As we pray together, united in faith, your promise is that you will answer our prayers. Touch them, O God, with your healing power, that they will experience the power of healing in their bodies as we pray. We pray for all those other ones who are going through other difficult times in their lives, especially the ones who are grieving at the death of their dear ones, the three little children that lost their lives and their families. Bless them with your comforting presence, O God, that the world cannot comfort and give peace at this time. You are the only one who can give everlasting peace. Bless them with your presence, O God, as we speak. Also pray for the girl who is recovering from the injuries. We pray for your special healing hand to touch her and strengthen her body and her spirit and give her peace and her family peace at this time. We pray for your grace upon all those who are looking up to you for various needs, family problems and relationships and many, many others. We pray for Melissa Pilcher. Open the right doors for her at the right time. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us on a daily basis. We thank you for their services, O God. Bless them and bless their families and keep them safe, O God, and give them the grace that they need and their needs. Meet all of their needs, O God. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions that will bring peace and unity to this country, O God, especially during this time of war and all different kinds of problems happening around us. Give them the wisdom, O God, that they will be humble before you, that obey your guidance and follow your path, that you guide them and lead them. We pray for world peace and world leaders also. Open their hearts, O God, that we need a peaceful world so that we can grow together as one community that you have placed us in this world to be, not to be fighting against and killing each other, but to unite in love, that we can be one human race that you have designed us to be, O God. We pray for our church and help us, Lord, to be your serving hands and feet in this community, faithfully doing your work. We pray for all the churches, pastors and ministers, who in many different ways serve the people who are in need. Bless us together that we can work together to lift this community up. We pray for the world church at large who are working for the kingdom in many different parts of the world, especially in difficult areas and in among oppositions in many places for the gospel work. We pray for your strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen them. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit and lift your name up in all the singing we do, the prayers we make, and the meditation of the word. will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
Please stand for the doxology. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all of our blessings in this life. We pray that you bless this offering to your use and us to thy service, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Accept the ones whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does it so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to set to the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Lisa, for reading that passage this morning and for everyone following along with it. I know that's rather a long reading, but it is in many ways surprising, to me at least, where that passage ends up. Paul begins talking about this very common problem in churches and in the body of Christ in general, about the divisions that can come up among the people of God, how sometimes we have different beliefs about things, our conscience is different than others, and those differences can lead to divisions within the body. So that seems like kind of a practical pastoral discussion, doesn't it? But Paul ends up in verses 7, 8, and 9 talking about the resurrection. He brings the resurrection into that discussion about unity. And that's what, with God's help, I want us to think about this morning for a few moments, how the resurrection has an impact on very practical matters of life. Pastor reminded us this morning, and I'm glad he did that. I don't know if anybody picked up on it. See if I can find my bulletin. If you look at your bulletin, I want to point out something that we don't think about a lot. If you look at your bulletin where it says April the 12th, 2026, if you notice the little heading up under there, it says the second Sunday of Easter. And I love the fact that in this church and in our tradition, we celebrate what's known as the Christian calendar. And in this time of year in the Christian calendar, we are still in Easter. Easter is not over. You know, and a lot of times we treat Easter like just one single day, but it's actually a season. And it goes all the way up into Pentecost. And I've developed a tradition in my own life. The last couple of years, I've tried to find a passage that means a lot to me in the Easter season. So again, I'm reminding you, we're still in Easter. I hope this isn't a news flash to anybody. But he's still alive. He's still risen. He's still very much with us today. So this year, I was walking through the scriptures and looking at various passages, and I stumbled upon this one in Romans chapter 14, which is such a powerful text for the Easter season. I want you to look at it just on the front of your bulletin just for a moment. I want to remind you of those final passages, then we'll pray and we'll study. But listen to this text. This is an incredible passage for the Easter season. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to this text this morning, Lord, may Easter once again intrude upon the practical aspects of our lives. Lord, may you speak to us today in this text, this truth that will help bind us together. But most importantly, Lord, may we hear and may we obey the truth that binds us to you. That you indeed are Lord, Lord of all, Lord of the living and Lord of the dead. May we respond to you, Lord, as our Lord today. Come and speak to us and claim us afresh through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I want us to talk today about this text, this tremendous text in verses 7 and 9 in two different ways. I want to spend just a few moments talking about how Paul brings in this idea of the resurrection and the lordship of Christ into this kind of church dispute that was going on. I want us, hopefully with God's help, to see how that matters for us as followers of Christ and as people in the church. And then secondly, I want to take a few moments and just kind of zoom out and look at verses 7 to 9 just by themselves and just hear them, what they can speak into our lives today. But first of all, let us get the context down, okay? What is this dispute that Paul is talking about? If you look up at the text, and you probably picked up on this when we were reading it together, there were controversies in the church at Rome that had to do with diet and days. Now, those two things don't sound very interesting in and of themselves, but some people had different opinions about what it was right for them to eat. Others had different opinions about keeping holy days. Now, these controversies, they're removed from us, I know, by so many decades. But I want us to think about the principle that's underlying these things. You may remember that the church at Rome was a diverse church. It was a church that included both Jews and Gentiles, people that had been called out of Judaism and out of paganism to follow Christ. And as people come from all these different backgrounds, they bring with them different experiences. Some of those folks that came to Christ in the church at Rome were probably saved out of pagan religions. And it was the practice in that day in those pagan temples in the Roman Empire that they would go and sacrifice meat to the idols, and then a portion of that meat would be sold in the marketplace. And Paul doesn't tell us this very specifically, but what could be going on here, there may have been people who had been saved out of paganism that used to worship in those temples, and their conscience bothered them when they would eat meat that was sacrificed to idols. On the other hand, there was a Jewish population in the church at Rome. They'd come out of Judaism. They were used to the high holy days of Judaism, and some of them felt that those days were still very special, while others in the church did not think particular days mattered. And you may be thinking to yourself by now, Pastor, this is all very boring and it doesn't have anything to do with me. But may I submit to you that it does. Because the point of this passage, what does Paul tell the church at Rome? He tells them two things. First of all, he says, don't judge each other and welcome each other. You know, that's really how divisions grow up in the church. Hopefully you don't have any divisions in Piedmont Fellowship. This seems like a very loving, unified church. But listen, even if this is the most unified church in the world, we need to hear this morning, because we are all followers of Christ. You remember one of Jesus' final prayers was this: Father, I pray that they may all be one. And so often we're not. So often the world looks at the Christian church and they mark us by our divisions rather than our unity. So what Paul is saying to the church, even though the circumstances in 21st century America may be so totally different from what Rome faced, we still face the same problems as followers of Christ. We have a bad habit. It's part of our fallen DNA, if you will, of judging and not welcoming one another because of differences that in the grand scheme of things do not really matter that much. Now, Paul here is not talking about moral issues. He's not talking about people in the church that are denying the truth or denying the gospel. He's not talking about that. He's talking about people who have different ideas, different belief structures, yet they all follow Christ. And the mere fact that they follow Christ should be the thing that brings them together. So think about this just for a moment, okay? I won't go on and on about it, but I hope we can bring this in today's world where we live. Paul is saying something to me this morning, and he's saying something to all of you. We are to welcome one another as followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the positive aspect. We are to welcome each other, even when we have differences. Secondly, we are not to judge each other. Now, the word that Paul uses there in verse 1, and it depends on what translation you're using, but basically, Paul says, I want you at Rome, I want you as believers to accept or welcome each other because you are followers of Christ. And the word that is used there, to welcome or accept, it means to take in. It means to let somebody come close to you. The very opposite of welcoming someone into your relationship or your fellowship, the very opposite of that is to put up a wall to keep somebody out.
All right.
Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't be a wall builder. Be a welcomer. Listen, have you ever felt excluded because perhaps your denomination, your tradition, your background was different than someone else's? Has anybody ever felt that? I've felt that. We've all felt that, I guess. But have you ever been hurt by that? Yeah. Have you ever felt that someone was putting up that wall because you believe something different? Now, they're a follower of Christ and you're a follower of Christ. You believe the cardinal truths of the gospel. You believe that Christ came, that he became incarnate, that he died for our sins, that he rose from the dead. You and this other person believe those essential truths of the faith. You and this other person have made a commitment to follow Christ. You have identified yourself in baptism or been identified in baptism with Jesus, and you say you follow him. But there is a wall between you and this other person because of something that is disputable, something that is not an essential. Listen, Paul says he does not want us to be the kind of people that keep other believers out, that keep other believers at a distance. There is great harm that comes to the church by that. We talk a lot about church hurt, don't we? Anybody here ever stayed away from the church because you were hurt? I did. I'm a preacher, and I stayed away from the church for a while because I was hurt. I was hurt by people that I loved and respected and my very own family that had a little bit different beliefs than I did. But I could tell when they became very involved in one particular denomination that they were pushing me away.
All right, yeah.
And I believed the same thing that they believed about who Jesus was. And they believed the same thing I did. But there was erected this wall between us. Paul says we must not do that as followers of Jesus Christ because of the great harm it does. We must accept each other because we have been accepted. Now, I can't say that I've always been the one that has been on the receiving end of a wall. I hate to admit it, but there's been times when I've been the one who has erected the wall. I'll never forget, years ago, I was pastoring a small church, a very loving congregation, a faithful congregation, and it was comprised primarily of senior citizens, and I did more funerals in that. Sometimes it felt like I did more funerals than I did bulletins. I mean, people were dying. It was just, so commonplace. And one of the matriarchs of the church, husband had been sick for years, and he could come only at certain times, and he had been going through a long period of suffering, and he passed away. And the matriarch of the church called me and said, "Would you mind doing the funeral?" And I said, "Of course not. I'd be honored to do that." But she said, "By the way, my grandson is a preacher, and he's going to do part of the funeral, and you do part of the funeral." And I said, "That's fine." And I came to find out in our conversation that her grandson—I hate to admit this—her grandson was a part of the denomination that had a very rigid belief about worship in the church. They did not believe that music should be part of the church. Instrumentation. You know what I'm... Are y'all with me? There's only a couple of denominations that believe.
Yeah.
Just a couple. And can I admit to you that when I heard that, I hadn't even met him yet. This was this dear woman's grandson. I immediately started erecting a wall. Because I said, I don't like that. I like piano. I like organ. I like drums. I like guitars. I like flutes. Thank you very much, Wayne and Lisa, for what y'all do in this church. And I immediately just started having this horrible attitude about this young pastor that I had never met. Isn't that awful for me to do that? But listen, this story has a happy ending. I met this young pastor. We did the funeral together. We became friends for a long time. I still got his number in my phone. Haven't called him in a while. But for a long time, we would just touch base. I want to tell you something. That young man believed categorically differently than I do about whether or not you should play a piano in the church. Can I tell you, there's going to be a day when me and that young man, we are going to be standing before the throne of God, and we are going to be worshiping the Lamb. And none of that's going to matter. None of that's going to matter. And I want to tell you, I felt him to be a more humble, loving person than I was. So I'm going to tell you, I'm not just been the recipient of being on the side of a wall that somebody else has built. I built a few in my life too. And may I say to you that I repent of that. Paul says, accept one another and don't judge one another. Now, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, judge not lest you be judged, right? Now, that doesn't mean we can't make moral distinctions. Amen. That does not mean that there's no such thing as right or wrong, okay? And that's not what Paul is talking about here. But he specifically says in this text, look at verse 3. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Just to give you an illustration here maybe that will help visualize this, I have the honor, and I deeply and sincerely mean this, I have the honor of working for the state government. And I know people, please don't throw anything at me. If you have any state fines or anything like that, it's not my responsibility. But I work for a government agency, and recently the head of our government agency, a wonderful man, a wonderful leader, was appointed as a judge by the governor. And he appointed this, so he, you know, no longer could be our boss. He had to go and, you know, start serving as a judge. He appointed him in like November of last year, but he doesn't actually take his seat on this court. It's a new court that has jurisdiction over tax matters. He doesn't sit as a judge until actually this month, April. Now that gentleman kept coming to our office all the way through the end of the year. And you know what would have been a horrible thing for him to do? He doesn't sit on the bench until April. If he started walking into our office every day wearing a judge's robe, why would that have been so awful? He had no authority, right? Have you ever been a Christian that walks around wearing a judge's robe? I have. And I've met a few. And I've been hurt by a few, and I've probably hurt a few. Paul says don't do that. Why? Because there's one judge. And guess what? You ain't him.
Amen.
Paul says, do not judge your brother and your sister over things that don't matter. Accept one another because God has accepted you. And if you're wearing any judge's robes this morning, for the sake of the kingdom, take them off, because they don't belong to you, and they don't belong to me, and that's not our job. There is only one who is judge, and he is the one who died and rose again. Now, I'm about to close here in just a few moments, but this is where Paul, this is fascinating to me. We're talking about these, you know, what seem to be kind of mundane matters of disputations about things that don't matter. And Paul takes out this huge theological insight in verses 7 and 9. And if you follow the train of Paul's thought, basically what Paul is saying here is, don't you dare judge one another, because there's only one who has the right to judge. And he died and he rose. And he came back to life that he might be judge of the living, the Lord of the living and the dead. You see, the court of the kingdom is not like the court of state government or federal government. I can't keep all up with all these courts in the federal and state and the municipal systems. Can you? You know, you've got your county court, your superior court, your probate court, your municipal court, you know, your federal court, your supreme court. I'm glad that is simple for us as followers of Jesus. There's one court. There's one judge. The Lord, who is the one who has been raised above all powers. The one who is the Lord of the living and the dead. That means his judgment is comprehensive. And we will all stand before him. Well, I promised I'd say just a word about verses 7 and 9. So let me do that for a moment. And just in closing, I know I did that quickly, but I hope you can see how Paul brings in the resurrection, the lordship of Christ, to bring unity among his people, to get us out of the role of judging and get us into the role of welcoming one another. But look back, if you will, if you have it, if you look at it on the screen or just on your bulletin, this is how we're going to close today. Okay, just a few moments here. I just want you to kind of zoom out with me and look at verses 7 to 9. Because what Paul tells us here about the one who is Lord of the dead and Lord of the living and Lord of all is so deeply comforting. And at the same time, so deeply challenging. Look at what Paul says in 7. For none of us lives to himself, none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. One of the things that Paul implies here in verse 7 and 8 is that as believers, as those of us who say we follow Jesus Christ, we are called to have only one master. We are called to live to the Lord. Now, the first part of this, Paul talks about what we're not supposed to do. He calls us out of judgment into accepting. But listen, in verses 7 and 8, there's a tremendous call to freedom here for any of us who have been on the receiving end of judgment. See, what Paul is saying is if you follow Christ, there's only one who is your master. And it is the one who rose from the dead, who is the Lord of all. Now that can be extraordinarily healing to us this morning. If anybody's here this morning and you've been hurt by someone in the church, will you stay with me just a moment, okay? If you feel like somebody has passed judgment on you and they've erected a wall and they say perhaps not by their words but at least by their actions that you don't matter, the response that will free you and free me is this. We are called to serve all. We are called to love all. But we are only to have one master. And that is the one who is sitting on the throne. And regardless of whether somebody tells us we're good enough, or we're included, or we're accepted, the one who matters has accepted us by virtue of the cross and his resurrection. Do you see what Paul is calling us to here? If we live, we live to the Lord. Not to my judgmental preacher neighbor. No? Not to my family member who thinks I go to the wrong church. If we live, we live to the Lord. He is our master. And here's the gospel. He has said, because of what Jesus done, we are accepted. We have been made part of the family. Whether other family members recognize it or not. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are His. To this end, Christ died and lived again, that He might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Just allow that last verse to penetrate down in your heart for a moment, and then we'll close. Christ is Lord of the dead and of the living. Isn't that a comforting idea? You know, that means that for all of us at our ages, except for the few young people here, all of us at our ages, we've had to lower someone, perhaps many people, into the grave and say goodbye to them. And how, for anybody who's experienced that kind of grief, how the pain still lingers on some days. But how richly does the hope of Christ comfort us? Because He is Lord both of the dead and of the living. That means, dear ones, that there is no place outside of His jurisdiction. Not the deepest grave, the most horrific loss, Christ still gives us hope because He is Lord not only of the living but of the dead. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that your truth today, Lord, would penetrate into our lives, that it would be a source of healing for us. Lord, if we have been hurt, if we have received the judgment from those, Lord, who are not called to give it, and we have taken that in, we have accepted it, Lord, today may we throw it off because of our faith in You, knowing that we have one Master, and He is able to make us stand, and He has accepted us based on nothing that we have done, no merit of our own, no works of our own, but based solely on the sacrifice of Christ and His resurrection on the third day. Lord, help us to take in these words to heal us. Help us to take in these words, Lord, to correct us. That if we have perhaps not even consciously, but if we have once again in our own lives slipped those judges' robes back upon our shoulders, Lord, may we take them off today, once and for all. May we become those who accept, who welcome, who tear down walls rather than build them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for that beautiful message, encouraging, and thank you. God bless you. The closing hymn is Fairest Lord Jesus, 189 in the Blue Book. It will be also on the screen. If you are able, please stand. Let me bring it up first.
We'll be singing verses 1, 3, and 4.
Only one judge, and that judge is the ruler of all,
yes,
who lives forevermore. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.